up.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Oh, good morning and a good Monday. We begin another week. Ron Culver on vacation. I'm Tony D. It's SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio. Hey, don't look now. I know we've had a summer of NBA fun and a lot of fun free agency. But don't look now, because there's going to be some NFL training camps opening up this week. I know the Denver Broncos are opening up on first practice on Thursday, checking in on Wednesday. They're in the Hall of Fame game with the Atlanta Falcons coming up on August 1st. It's here. I mean, it really is. It's here. I talked about last week SEC Media Days, Big Ten Media Days, Big 12 Media Days, all going on this week. It is the appetizer for the season, and it is coming up this week. There's going to be a lot of that kind of, it's a feeling of preview, especially in a city like Denver, a 6-10 season, Joe Flacco at quarterback, Vic Fangio as a head coach, trying to turn the corner, trying to catch up with the Chiefs, trying to catch up with the Chargers, and it's all getting kick-started. Training camp is interesting because I like spring training, for example, in baseball, because it's a destination. If you live in a cold weather climate like I did most of my life, there was always a cool feeling of spring training, right? I can remember I grew up in the middle of nowhere, New Hampshire, and like, you would watch the Boston news guys, and they would all go down to Florida for spring training. And they would be in golf shirts and palm trees and sunshine, and there'd be water and there'd be grass. And you look outside and there's like 3-4 feet of snow that's still out there. There's a destination. It's a take me away from where I am and bring me to where you are. A lot of people go on vacation to Arizona and Florida for spring training, to get out of the cold, to see some baseball, to get that feeling of the season. Training camp is a kind of a different thing, because it's sweltering hot. It's, you know that the season is going to end in freezing temperatures, but it's sweltering hot. But there is such a thirst for it. There's such a thirst to watch practice and look with your own eyes as to what you're seeing with your favorite team. You know, I covered the Broncos for 10 years. I went to a lot of practices at Dove Valley and even in Greeley in the early years when they were up there at the University of Northern Colorado. And it's always impressive to see how many fans show up, because, again, it's the appetizer for the season. So it's starting up. It is right around the corner. Coming up, the weekend that was, including what I thought was one of the most miraculous things I'd seen in sports, plus yesterday's epic Wimbledon. We'll get to all of that coming up on SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, don't miss the biggest pay-per-view fight of the year this Saturday night. Manny Pacquiao against Keith Thurman. This Saturday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, live on Fox Pay-Per-View. Order now. So, over the weekend, we had a couple of good things that happened over the weekend. The Wimbledon men's final. But Friday night, the LA Angels threw a combined no-hitter on the first day they had a home game since Tyler Skaggs passed away before the All-Star break. They were on the road in Texas, in Arlington. Yeah, he had died in his hotel room. So they're having this emotional day to honor Tyler Skaggs. His mother throws out the first pitch. She's a former athlete. She throws it right down the middle. And they combined for a no-hitter, Felix Pena and Taylor Cole. 13-0 victory to honor this fallen teammate. And it's the second no-hitter of the season. And it was one of those nights where I think D. Gordon said it best. It was just so magical. D. Gordon hit a home run when they honored Jose Fernandez when he was with the Marlins, and he hit a home run in that game. He says, if you don't believe in God, start believing now. I thought it was a good way to put it. It was just, a lot of people played with the numbers, you know, like Mike Trout hit a home run. It went 450 something feet. 45 was the number of Tyler Skaggs. I mean, there's all sorts of different numerical value that was there. It was like a day before his birthday. They put up 13 runs in the game. They scored 7 in the first inning, I believe. There was all these different, sort of numbers to honor. Wasn't it a coincidence they honored Tyler Skaggs, and here's some numbers from the game. But you know, those are cool. And but I think sometimes you can reach, right? You can find numbers in anything. I don't care about that per se. What I care about the most is what a just great story it is. That's really in my own interest. That's what I thought when I saw this. I went to bed, I woke up to the news that they had pitched this combined no-hitter against Seattle and Anaheim. It just had that weird feeling you get sometimes in sports that there's something larger than just the athletes at play here, right? Sometimes this kind of happens, right? Where for whatever reason, and we don't know what the reason is, it just seems supernatural. And skeptics may say, oh, you know, it's not, but there's just a feeling that you get sometimes. And that's what's the case here. This was the night they were honoring their fallen team. Now, they could have lost that game. They could have lost that game 13-0, right? But it still wouldn't have changed the emotional impact of the moment, right? The mother was there. They all wore 45. They were all celebrating the life of this young man who tragically passed away, a fallen teammate who they loved and cared about deeply. But instead, they not only win, but they win historically. It doesn't just go in the history books as a win on the night they honored this fallen teammate that you might remember. It is in the history books now of Major League Baseball. This was a no-hitter, a combined no-hitter, but a no-hitter nonetheless. It goes down in Major League Baseball history, of certainly Angels history. It was a memorable night from the baseball side of it, not just what the game actually meant. Not just the fact that it was the first home game since he died on the road and they were honoring him. That you can remember that any way you like, but it also was just from a baseball standpoint, had they not honored Tyler Skaggs, it still is a historic night. Combine the two, it makes the night very, very special. And so that's one of the reasons I like sports so much. Is that there's this unscripted drama that comes with it that you can't explain to people who don't like it. Now, if you have a friend, for example, like I have a couple of friends that don't like sports at all. In fact, I can't even talk to them about it. But they like movies. They like Broadway plays. They like opera. They like whatever it is that they like. But I'm always telling them, like, when you go to a movie, you don't know how the movie is going to play out. But somebody did know how the movie was going to play out because they wrote it and then they directed it and then somebody acted it. And so somebody created a story. You're watching the story and the drama in the story may be new to you, but it was created for that reason. In sports, we never know when it's coming, right? Like I said, they honored Tyler Skaggs. They could have lost 13-3. They could have lost 13-0. It could have been a horrible day. Could have been a horrible, absolutely horrible day. But they still would have honored their teammate. But the fact is that they threw a combined no-hitter on the day that they did that. It's just there's this level of I can't believe what I just saw kind of aspect of sports that I still think is amazing. And you go into that this weekend, for example, at Wimbledon. Now I've admitted, you know, I'm not the biggest hockey guy in the world, for example. But given that I grew up in New England, but I wasn't really a big hockey guy. But it doesn't mean I don't appreciate the sport, its players, and what the Stanley Cup means, and everything that goes along. I can watch a very good hockey game. In fact, I'm kind of in a weird situation because I live in a city, Nashville, Tennessee, where the hockey team is very good. Very good. And just got better this offseason. And I live in the Southeast, where it's football, football, football. And oh, by the way, we really like this hockey thing too. So, even though I'm not a big hockey guy, I appreciate the sport because sports can give you something like this, like what you had Friday night in Anaheim, this sort of story beyond the story. So I'm not a big tennis person, yet Wimbledon, the finals of Wimbledon on Sunday, was some of the best sports entertainment I've seen in a long time. Watching 37-year-old Roger Federer go up against 32-year-old Novak Djokovic in an epic five-set battle for the Wimbledon crown. It was fantastic. They had everything. It was a five-hour match, and they were still serving in the 120s. There was lob shots, backhands, spins, right? Massive forehands going in the opposite way. Great baseline action, right? Even action to the net. strategy. Again, I know how tennis is played, and I know the scoring, and I know the rules, but I don't know the deep strategy of tennis, right? I don't understand the deep, when you go up against a guy and you try to take advantage of his weaknesses, and sometimes the decisions you have to make when you're hitting the ball, right? It's not just, hey, let me just hit, like I play tennis, let's just hit it over the net and hope it lands in bounds. I mean, they're thinking in a split second, do I want to slice this a little bit over there? Do I want to bash this over in the corner to set up the next shot that comes back to me that I could get him to chase? They're both thinking. It's a big chess match. They're both thinking. And you could see that in play in the Wimbledon final. And watching Roger Federer, 37 years old, he almost won this thing. It gets to a fifth set. They go back and forth. They both win 12 games in the set. And it goes to a tiebreaker. Now, this is the first time that they've implemented this rule because it just started this year. So the final set goes to 12, and then it goes to tiebreak. You got to get to 7. And Novak Djokovic wins. But at a couple of points in the match, he was 2 points away from losing the championship. Federer had 2 championship points on a couple of occasions. And he fought back and won. Again, you don't have to be a huge fan of the sport to appreciate what you're seeing within the sport. So oftentimes people will tell me all the time, oh, I don't care about that. I don't care about that. But I'm like, are you a sports fan? Because if you're a sports fan, let me try to convince you how good this was, because the things that you like in the other sports are prevalent here, right? You may not like NASCAR, for example, but Saturday night, 2 brothers were going door to door on the final lap for the checkered flag. It's excitement. You may not understand it. You may not even like it, but the drama of the sport played out. I thought Wimbledon was fantastic. I couldn't get enough of it. A friend of mine in Austin had a really good tweet because I agreed with it. He said, "Man, this Wimbledon final is going to go on so long, I won't go outside today." I felt the same way. I felt like, oh, this is my Sunday. It's shot. I'm going to watch these two play tennis all day now. Felt like it was 5 hours. Luckily, it was in England, because if it was here, I'd be done for the whole day. Nothing would have gotten done around the house. But I don't watch tennis on a regular basis. I don't watch when they go to Singapore or when they go to Cincinnati or wherever they go. I don't watch. I watch some Wimbledon. I watch a little bit of the French. I never watch the Australian. It's way too weird time for me. I watch the U.S. Open at the end of the summer. But I can appreciate it and I can love it. No, it's not football. It's not college football to me. It's not baseball. It's not the NBA. But I can appreciate the drama of sports. And that's what I got this weekend. And that's the overall point that I'm making. This weekend, I felt the power of this thing we love. I felt the power of this unscripted drama of the thing we care about. These are games, and yeah, you can in the end, it's all entertainment. And I get that. And I've always gotten that. You know, it's not life or death. It's really entertainment, but it's different kind of entertainment, because it gives you this entertainment where no one knows what the ending is going to be until the ending actually takes place, because no one behind the scenes is scripting anything. I mean, if you really step back and think about what happened in Anaheim on Friday, right? The combined no-hitter for Tyler Skaggs. It's amazing. It's an amazing thing. If you wrote it, and wrote it the way that the game actually played out with all of those sort of numerical coincidences, you would sell a very cheesy movie, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Like, if you went to a studio and said, this is what I think, well, of a movie, right? A baseball team tragically loses one of its players on the road, their first game home. Here's what they did to honor the player, and all of these things play out. You'd go, wow, that's kind of weird. Like, it's cool, it's a good story, but it's a little cheesy. Maybe it's good for like a made-for-TV movie or something like that. But that happened in real life. And it's not cheesy. It's just, it's bizarre and awesome at the same time. It's supernatural in a way. So that is the weekend that was. 800-777-2907. All right, coming up, I told you the NFL training camps are all going to start kicking off pretty soon. Some are actually going to start this week. Are we ever going to get an 18-game NFL schedule? There's a new proposal that does not make any sense at all. And it might get some traction. I'll tell you about it next on SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, good morning. It's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. We're close, convenient, and known for our guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. So, as I mentioned earlier, NFL training camps getting opened up in the next couple of days and weeks, and the Broncos open up this week. I think the Saints do, too. So you're going to have a lot of this training camp conversation. We're kind of in that preseason flux. August 1st is when the Hall of Fame game is. August 1st. That's 2 weeks away. We're going to have our first preseason game. So, listen, this is an old topic, but it's starting to heat up a little bit again. And I feel like I've been doing this story for like 10 years, but every now and then they throw a wrinkle into the story that makes it new. And then you go, oh, okay, well, what do we think about this? So we know that the NFL owners desperately want an 18-game schedule, right? They just do. They know the money's there. They want more money. Of course they do. They want to build up their product more, want to dominate more, all that. So they feel like add two more games to the schedule will be good. I still am amazed. And I know I feel like I've been saying this for years, but I'm so amazed that for a country that loves football so much as like we do, that this isn't a fan jump up and down, scream, get it done kind of thing. You ask most NFL fans, do you want an 18-game schedule? And most go, I don't know. Probably not. There's some feeling that expansion is bad, right? There's some feeling like, no, more isn't better. You'd think you'd want more, right? But on the flip side, there's something about it that doesn't fit right. It's like when your town gets like its fifth coffee shop, right? You're like, oh gosh, how many coffee shops do we need? Everybody loves coffee, but do we need five of them for crying out loud in a 10-mile, strip of land? It feels that way with the NFL season. It's like, listen, I know we used to have 14, and then we went to 16. And I wonder how much people complained about it then. We'd all get over it. The players would adjust. Coaches would adjust. The league would adjust. 18 would be the new normal. And in a generation, it would be like, my God, I can't believe they actually played 16. And can you even believe they played 14? What fools. But for whatever reason, we're not embracing this as fans. Now, there's many reasons for this, right? Do I really want a league that where the regular season is so long, it could affect the postseason in terms of injuries? My quarterback goes down in week 13. Could he come back in time for the postseason if he's got an extra 2 weeks? Or if he gets hurt in week 17 of his 17th game of the season, would I lose him for the playoffs? Do we have a playoffs where it's just backup guys in most skill positions because the attrition is too much? Yeah, there's arguments for and against that. As I mentioned earlier, you could actually be in a position where you get the extra 2 weeks to come back from an injury for the postseason if you suffer it early enough. But I think there's also this feeling of don't water down your product, right? Don't water down your product. It feels right. We feel it just feels like we've got it perfectly the way we want it. But the owners know better, right? They know this, that this may not be super popular, but they want the money. And so there's a proposal that says, okay, we understand what you're saying, right? A football player, 18 games during the regular season, that's a lot of wear and tear. We're supposed to be more conscious about this in terms of helmet-to-helmet collisions, in terms of other head injuries and injuries in general. We're breaking down the body. We get it. Okay, so how about this for an idea? We'll have 18 regular season games, but everybody on the team can only play 16 games per season. Well, all right, that solves your problem, but how in the world is this going to look? When would you play certain players? What if you miscalculate? So I'll just use my team, for example. Let's say the Steelers. Right? The Browns are better. Baltimore is pretty good. You're vying for a wild card spot, right? Every game's important on your schedule. And let's say, with Ben Roethlisberger, you suffer a couple of heartbreaking losses earlier in the season. You find yourself in a hole. So Roethlisberger starts playing. He plays pretty well. He's getting hot. You start winning some games. Now you're in contention. The division is reachable, but wild card is more sustainable, and you're trying to win some games. What happens in week 15 if you haven't used up the two sit-downs for Roethlisberger? What if you haven't managed it right? What if you have five games left, and those are five important games, and Josh Dobbs is going to be your starting quarterback? Right? Mason Rudolph is going to be your starting quarterback for two important games? Well, if you do them early in the season to sort of get them out of the way, what kind of hole does that set you in if that quarterback isn't playing particularly well? What about your offensive lineman? What if your star left tackle has to sit out a critical game? Again, it puts so much emphasis on the coaches who already have a busy plate. I mean, how many times have you seen coaches over and over again? I get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I stay in the office until 1 a.m. I sleep on a cot in the office. I never see my family. I'm game planning all the time. Now all of a sudden you have to have coaches going, okay, and I've got a roster of 53 guys, and now I got to determine how many of those guys are sitting out, when they're sitting out, registering that to make sure I can still use them. Is it going to be important to sit out against this team? Should I sit them out against this team? Et cetera, et cetera. It's too much. Listen, here's the deal, owners. If you want 18 games, you sell it. You sell it as two regular season games, no caveats. That's it. You sell it to the players' union. If you can't sell it to the players' union, you can't do it. You want these special rules? It makes no sense. I think fans would lose their minds. The ticket prices won't go down if you put in a substitute quarterback, a backup quarterback, not because a quarterback is hurt, but because you're giving them the day off. I mean, give me a break. I mean, again, how does it work with TV schedules? Does the TV people have influence over this? Let's say you're Mike Tomlin, just staying with the Steelers for a second. Let's say it's critical that you get Ben Roethlisberger his much-needed day off. But it's week 14, and it's week 14 against Baltimore, and it's Sunday night football. Does the network come in and go, whoa, 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 wait a minute. And if you're Tomlin, you don't owe the network anything, but do you feel outside pressure from the league going, hey, we got these business partners, and they put money in your pocket too, so let's go ahead and get this fixed up a little bit. Why don't you rest them later on, like next week when you have the 1 o'clock game and it's not on national TV? I mean, there's just so many variables to this that don't make sense, that are just not workable. And if this is what the owners want, they want so badly to add two games on it, then just say to the players union, we want two games. And you know what? We just want them. We want guys to play 18 regular season football games. We want, as much as we talk about safety, we don't think it's going to be that big of a deal. Try to sell that. Chances are you won't. Now, maybe somewhere down the line, the owners and the players can come together and say, look, we'll give you a bigger piece of the pie. And maybe, but I think if you're Demoris Smith, you say, you know, big piece of the pie or not, we can't go against the principle of the thing. And the principle of the thing is, listen, we don't believe in this as a safety issue. You know, we're looking at it from a wear and tear perspective from our clients and our players, members in our union. And we don't think they're healthy playing an 18-game schedule. We barely think they're healthy playing a 16-game schedule. So you're gonna you throw this caveat out there saying, well, you know, the players will play 16 of the 18, and the players' union is supposed to go, yeah, and exactly how will that work? Well, you guys will figure it out. And thinking, can you imagine being a coach and your owner is like asking you all, well, when are you going to play this? When are you going to play that? Who's playing here? God, it's a headache. You'll have guys running to college football. I'd rather sit in a 17-year-old's living room, beg him to come play for me, than deal with this. Look, if you can't sell 18 games, find a way to sell it if you want it. This is a dumb idea. This is an absolute dumb proposal. I mean, it doesn't, again, if there's a million variables and they haven't figured out one of them, just sell 18 games.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Can I make a complaint this morning? I normally don't, but can I just... I get up early to do this show. I like to be up and awake. I've done morning shows where it's like I've gotten up like an hour before the start of the show, and I hate it, the way I feel when I... So I get up pretty early, and I like to eat something, right? Sometimes before I get rolling, I'll make some eggs or something like that or whatever. But I've been on the cereal kick lately, and I'll eat a healthy cereal. Don't get me wrong. Listen, I love Lucky Charms and, things like that. But I hate raisins. I hate raisins. All right. My wife knows this. I hate raisins. There's nothing to me more embarrassing than when I'm over at somebody's house and they're like, hey, you want some cookies? We just baked some cookies. My kid is, making these, and it's a great recipe. And I go, oh, great. And I pick it up and I think it's a chocolate chip cookie and it's got raisins in it. Or they say, oh, these oatmeal raisin cookies are great. You should try one. And I have to go, I don't like raisins. Like, I'm a 10-year-old child. So I eat them anyway. And I go, oh, God, I hate raisins so much. My wife went to the store and she bought cereal, and two of the boxes were raisin cereals. And the other one was like whole wheat, like no sugar. She's like, I'm getting rid of all that stuff. And I'm like, can't I just live the way I want to live? Can't you just indulge me every now and then? She knows I hate raisins. She took 66% of the cereal boxes that she bought out of my equation. Now I'm stuck with bran flakes. I don't want bran flakes. My God, I'm old enough now that I don't want to eat that stuff. So now I don't know what to eat. You know what I should do? I should just, for breakfast, I should just make sandwiches with the lunch meat and all that other stuff. Just broil up a chicken breast or whatever it is. Oh, you're supposed to have that for dinner? I'm sorry. I thought I'd have it for breakfast. Raisins are the worst. I don't know why people like them. My kids love raisins. I don't know how in the world they are my kids. I can't stand them. I can't even stand looking at them. When I see a pile of them, I'm thinking, gross. Especially like raisin boxes. Get raisin boxes as a snack. Throw those things away. Those raisins. Prunes have got to be the worst too. They're just dried plums. I like grapes. That's the weird thing. I'll eat grapes all day. If you give me a box of grapes, I will pop them in like candy all day. Stick them out in the sun for, dry them out. Oh, I can't stand them. I can't stand them. I love that cookie thing though. Oh, these look good. Yeah, my dear. Oh, no. Shoot. That wasn't a chocolate chip. That was a raisin. So if I'm a little grouchy this week, I'm going to have to go to the store and buy my own cereal. Ridiculous.
She's trying to change her style, Tony.
She is.
She's trying to change her, style to a healthy living.
She told me something funny, though. She said, she goes, nothing is less attractive than you eating a big bowl of Lucky Charms. I go, what do you mean? She goes, you shouldn't be eating that. It's all sugar and you're an adult. I go, are you kidding? The reason I wanted to be an adult was to be able to eat Lucky Charms whenever I wanted to. Are you kidding me? When I was a kid, I used to eat like Count Chocula and Lucky Charms, and I'd be like, I could eat this every day. And my mother would be like, nah, no, you can't. And I'd be like, yes, I can. And then when I was an adult, I was like, yes, I can. It's all I had in college. I had Lucky Charms and a lot of macaroni and cheese. Kraft macaroni and cheese was my big thing. I'd buy boxes of that stuff. My roommates and I would go through that like you wouldn't believe. But Lucky Charms was my thing. I still love it to this day. But she goes, no, eat healthy. We just got back from vacation. You gained weight on the vacation. And like Raisin Bran and some other raisin cereal. It's not Raisin Bran, some other raisin cereal that she bought. And bran flakes. What am I going to do with bran flakes? Well, you know what I'll do with bran flakes, Bobby? I will dump a boatload of sugar on that thing. That's exactly what I'm going to do.
That's not good, Tony.
Right? Bran flakes with a big pile of sugar on top. There you go. How about that? Yep, I'll get my fiber and I'll be super hyper. So there you go. She goes, well, cut a banana in it. I go, if I want a banana, I'll eat a banana. I don't need, goodness gracious, just give me the marshmallows, please. Just for 2 seconds. That's all I'm asking. But I think she did the raisin thing on purpose. Because one thing she always says to me, she says, you eat the kids' cereals all the time. I buy cereals for the kids and you eat it all the time. And I think she said, like, this is your mouse trap. All right. You won't go near this because it's got raisins in it. The kids love raisins. You don't. They get to eat it. That's it. So that's my complaint this morning. So if I'm a little grouchy this week, well, I shouldn't be grouchy this week. I'm on my own. I can go get my own cereal. So I should do that. Michael on Twitter, if they go to a new 18-game schedule, you know Belichick will figure out a way to blow out four weak teams in the first half and sit Brady for the entire second half equal to two games. That's exactly right, Michael. That's another good point. Like, Belichick will finagle it so that he'll be like, oh yeah, he sat out two games. Like, he didn't sit out two whole games. He sat out the second half of four games, that equals to two. So, you know, take me to court. I'm playing him. By the way, what would be the punishment? That's another thing. What would be the punishment? Like, would referees stop the game? Like, yeah, go to that scenario. Go to exactly that scenario. Let's say you're the Patriots, and you gotta put Tom Brady on the do not play list, right? But let's say you're Belichick, and you're like, no, I'm not going to put him on the do not play list. This is stupid. And so week 14, right, he goes out there. What happens in the final two games? Do they have to forfeit? I mean, would you go down that road? Would a referee stop the game and say he can't play? And what if the Patriots refused? Would they actually tell fans we're not playing today because Tom Brady is an ineligible player? Everybody go home. The Patriots are forfeiting this game against the Miami Dolphins in week 17. Oh, and it would be 18 because you have the bye week, so it would be 19 games. Whatever it is. Would you actually cancel the game? I mean, I'm sorry if that sounds like the nuclear option of this, but no one is coming up with a solution for this. You think everybody would be in agreement? Yeah, you think everybody would be on the same page? Oh, yeah. No, no worries. We'll make sure he doesn't play. You got to be out of your mind. And who keeps up with all this? You're going to have to hire a whole new department in the NFL to keep up with when players play and when they don't play? There's 52 guys on the roster. Right? You're going to be going, okay, he played. All right, he showed up. I know they'll have computers. They won't be doing it on some big chalkboard or anything like that. But you'd still have to have a staff that was monitoring all this, making sure that everything was on the up and up. And like, if I'm a head coach, I would hate this. Are you kidding me? Oh, God, I would lose my mind with this. I'm supposed to be game planning for Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, but I also have to make sure that I've got the right personnel in place, and I got to make sure that every one of the people that I need in this game to stop Patrick Mahomes has eligibility to play in the game. That this is not one of those weeks where I'm forced to sit a guy out or two. And you know, that's what's going to be the chaotic thing at the end of the season. No one's going to want to do it at the beginning of the season. Nobody wants to climb out of a hole. Right? Everyone wants to think like, well, we got to get off to a good start. So you get off to a good start using all your guys. And it's late in the season when you're vying for positioning and possible playoff berth. You're like, oh, God, we got to sit the quarterback out for two games. What a dumb idea. What a stupid idea. If you're going to go all the way, go all the way. Don't put caveats to this. Like, do you want the extra revenue so badly that you're willing to make a mess of your game, an embarrassment to your game? What other league does this? Like, of the major leagues, what other league does this? Does, like, in Major League Baseball, do they say Mike Trout has to sit 10 games this season for no other reason than he needs rest? Who does that? NHL? Does the NHL say that? Goaltenders can only be in goal 70% of the season. Your best goaltender can only be in goal 75% of the year. The other 25%, mix it up any way you want, but he can only play 65 of the 82 games, or 80 games. NBA, same thing. I mean, come on. This is ridiculous. And then, you know what it does? It puts an even bigger spotlight on why you did it in the first place. So for years and years and years, the owners were like, we're not really sure about concussions. I mean, that kind of seems stupid that you're getting all these CTE from concussions. And then all of a sudden the evidence was like, yeah, maybe so. Yeah, maybe we over-exaggerated this a little bit. Yeah, it probably is true. And then you go, yeah, we won 18 games, but you only have to play 16 because football is a deadly sport. That highlights it even more. I said one of the problems the NFL has always had with the concussion situation is that when they were ignoring it for so long, you saw youth participation just start going crazily downhill, right? You had all these kids playing football, and then over time, like, there were high schools that were canceling football all throughout the country Now, not big schools, but you know where they used to have football. Then monetarily, it was kind of iffy. Well, they couldn't get enough kids to come out and play, so they had to cancel it. And it was going on around the country. Pop Warner participation went way down. The mothers were like, my kid ain't playing. I'm telling you right now, my son begged to play football. My wife wouldn't let him, right? And I said, oh, please let him play football. He's got speed. He's a big kid. He's a tall kid. He could play. And my wife said, nope, he's runs track. He can play baseball, but he can't play football. Finally, my son said, listen, I really, really want to play. We made a deal with him. Fine. He got a concussion. He got a busted eardrum. We had to go to the emergency room. My wife had to travel to another state because the pharmacy was open in the other state on a Friday night when his head was exploding. It was horrible. It was your worst. It was the worst nightmare that she had come true. My kid went, I swear, I'll never forget. It was an October day, and he was playing, defense, and it was an interception, and he was making a block, and he got blindsided, and he went down, he got back up, and then he went right down again. And as a parent, you like flip out. You just flip out. And his head was ringing. We took him to the doctor. Same thing. It was just all of that came true, right? So my point is that the NFL, when they were ignoring all that, they never trickled down to say, hey, all right, hold on. We're going to do this because we want to make sure it's safe all the way down the line. And so there was this gap of time where participation went down. I think it's getting a lot better. I think they've actually addressed it. There's been some PSAs being run about how safe football can be if you do it this way, et cetera, heads up programs and things like that. Coaches have gotten smarter with it. It's gotten a lot better than it used to be. But there was a period of time where it was really, really dire, right? So all of that, right, gets highlighted again the moment you say 18 games, but for safety, you can only play 16. It's like, well, why not? Why 16? How about 14? How about 12? If it's so unsafe, why not 10? Why are you expanding the schedule? Why don't you contract it? Why don't we make it a 6-game schedule, for crying out loud? Like, it just opens you up to criticism. It opens you up to more scrutiny. Here's what I said before, and I'll say it again, and I'll keep saying it. To the owners, take my advice. If you want 18 games, you sell 18 games and that's it. You just tell the players union what it is. This is revenue. This is more revenue, and it's more revenue for you. You want this, take it or leave it. The players will go, we'll leave it. And the owners will keep knocking it down until you have one group that says yes. But don't put any caveats on it. It's stupid. 800-777-2907. Hit me up on Twitter at Tony D Radio. I really do want to know. And listen, if you've never been on Twitter before, hit me up with this, because I do want to know. Am I right by thinking that many of you don't want this, or do you want this, but it's being misrepresented that you don't? Because you hear this all the time. Fans don't want 18 games. Ah, you tell me. I feel weird about it. I love more football, but I don't know. It's just something weird about adding more games. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a safety thing. I don't know if it's a timing thing. I don't know if it's an attrition thing. It doesn't fit right. Like, if they went to 170 games in baseball, I would lose my mind. I'd be like, no. It's already too long. It's crazy. And I love the NBA, but 82 games is long. But 18 games, I don't know, it just feels weird. I could take it, but I also can understand people's dilemma with it. At Tony D Radio as we roll along on SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Oh, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, as we roll along here on a Monday. Hope your weekend was good. Hope your weekend was fun. I loved the Wimbledon. I did. It just was so fun to watch. You know, it feels like it was this year. If Roger Federer had pulled it out, boy, you know what you could label? I mean, you could label this year as the year of the old guy, right? With Tom Brady winning the Super Bowl, you had Tiger Woods winning the Masters. Roger Federer could have won Wimbledon. It was just that kind of feeling this year. Like, guys in their late 30s, early 40s, still producing on the ultimate stage. It's so, like, Federer, he's been at it for a long time. I mean, 20 years. He's been at it. And watching him play, I never saw a 37-year-old. Like, I still saw a young guy. Like, a guy who still had it. Normally, you see guys, you know, when they reach that age, like, you're waiting for it, whatever moment age kicks in. You see it, like, even in golf, where golf is not really an age-defying kind of sport, right? You can still hit the ball a long way with the equipment, but you see it a lot of times where, you know, older athletes, even in, like, golf, you see where the length of the athletic endeavor gets to them, right? They just can't quite close it out. They're just a little on the older side. And so as that game was progressing, and was that was a five-hour match, I never felt that Federer was just showing the exhaustion of just being a little bit more on the older side than 32-year-old, which is where Djokovic was. I just think it was phenomenal. He's keeping himself in great shape. It doesn't look like he's slowing down. Right, he's still on grass, one of the more dominant players in the game. And God, just the power that was displayed. I mean, those guys were still serving in the 120s 5 hours into the match. Really great. I was mesmerized by it. Couldn't get enough. And luckily, 5 hours was just right. This is tough. I caught it late because I don't get up that early on a Sunday. But it was still very, very entertaining. SB Nation AM rolling along. We'll talk some college football coming up as well as we get ready for media days this week.